This evening, with Parshas Truma, we come to the first of five sidras, which are devoted either exclusively or in part to the Mishkan and by extension to the Beis HaMikdash. And I think, therefore, it might be appropriate to begin our shiur this evening with a most beautiful quotation from a Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Tzav that I came across this morning. That's why it's not on your sheet. And when I've read it out, you'll appreciate how relevant it is. It's in Parshas Tzav, Ot Yudalid, in Medrash Tanchuma. Says the Medrash, the Imret Sonach Oleda, and if you would like to know, Bo Ure'e, come and see. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Yechezkel Hanavi the entire imagery of the Beis HaMikdash HaOsid, Mahu Omer, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Yechezkel? He says the following, Hageid es Beis Yisrael es Habayit, relate to the house of Israel all regarding the Beis HaMikdash, and let them be ashamed because of their transgressions, umodadu es tochnis, which Sansino translates to mean, and let them measure accurately. That's the post. Oma Yechezkel lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yechezkel says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel olam, ad achshav, at this particular moment in time, anu nesunim bagola, we are now in Golus, because Yechezkel was a Novi in Golus. V'yeret Soneinu, in the land of our enemies. V'yato me'li, and you are telling me now, Leilech to go, ulehodi al Yisroel, surat habayis. You're telling me to go to Bnei Yisroel, and bring to them the details of the Beis HaMikdash, ukesovo soli eneyem, and to write it in front of their eyes, the Yishmuru is called Surosav, is called Chukosav, and that they should be careful about all those items associated with the Beis HaMikdash. The Chiyacholim Hein La'asos? Are Bnei Yisrael able to build a Beis HaMikdash at this moment? We're in Golus. Haniach Lohem, says Yechezkel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, leave the Bnei Yisrael alone, Ad Sheyalu Min Agayla, until they come out of their exile, and afterwards, and he holech v'yomer lahem, I'll go and tell them the dinim of the Beis HaMikdash. But now, it's not halacha l'maisa, they're in Golus, and if I will tell them, it will achieve no purpose. Omar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yechezkel, Godol kriyosa batora kivinyona. Studying the laws of building a Beis HaMikdash is the equivalent of building it. Godol kriyosa batura kivinyona. Leich emolohem. Go and say to them, Leis asku likros suras habayis batura. And let them busy themselves to read and to discuss how it is that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. And in the reward of the reading in which they will become involved, ani ma'ale aleihem, I will consider it of them, ke'ilo heim oskim levinyan habayis, as if they were themselves physically involved in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Al tikro bonayich ele bonayich. So we're now going to be involved for the next few weeks, Mitz Hashem, in building. Learning a little bit about Mishkan, about Beis HaMikdash. The Medrash Tanchuma is something very, very beautiful. Let us begin with the first pasuk. It's heavy material, but building is always heavy work. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor, daber el Bnei Yisrael, v'yikchu li teruma. Speak to the children of Israel and let them take for me teruma. And of course, the question that is uppermost in our minds or should be, is that it is the duty of the Jew to give. So what's this? The yikhu li teruma? The yitnu li teruma? Let them give for me a teruma. Why say the yikhu, let them take? They're giving, or they're supposed to give, not taking. And there are many answers to this question, and this evening we look at the comments of Reb Zelvel Brisker. You should know, as Shakespeare says, whenever Binyan Beis Hamidrash comes, then Brisk is not far behind. They're very much involved in these inyonim. Okay. Says the Brisker of as follows. Yesh lomar boze. I would like to explain to you what the Yikhu is doing there. Al pi ma dekayim along, I will explain it to you based on a principle which is enunciated both in Gemara and in Rishonim, namely, the Hamikdosh, that the Beis Hamikdosh itself, the Chelov and its appurtenances, Ukelei Shoreis, and the items that are used in the various rituals, Hakol Tzorich Lihiyot Rak Mishel Tzibur. Every item that is being used, every item used in the building, in the appurtenances, and in the kelim, must come from communal coffers. It must be a donation, a contribution made by the tzibur. The gamim hikdishon yochid, and even if a single individual wanted to sanctify and to dedicate an article for use in the Beis HaMikdash or in the Mishkan, it can't be used just because he has sanctified it. He, the individual, has got to present it to the community. It becomes communal property, and then, as communal property, it may be used in the Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash. The Ilav Hochi, and if it is not done in this way, but remains merely a donation of a Yochid, Lo Mistashrei, it is not acceptable to be used in the Mishkan. Alkein, basing ourselves on that fact, we now understand, Zehu Shenemar V'yikhuli Terumo. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says V'yikhuli Terumo, the instruction is directed at the representatives of the community. They must take from the individuals who will contribute. When they have taken the contributions of the individuals and made them communal property, then and only then can this money or these items be used in order to construct a Mishkan. The Hatzibur Yikichume HaYechidim. It is the community and its representatives who are instructed to take from individuals. Meyeis Kolish Asher Yidvenu Libo. From everyone who is generous of heart, the Yaser Shelohem, and it becomes therefore by their taking as representatives of the community, it becomes communal property. And once it becomes communal property, all these items which are delineated in the following Sukkim, the Yachakein, the Osuli Mikdosh, then and only then are they able to use these materials in order to construct a Mishkan. V'zehu hanemar gamkein beparshas vayakel, and similarly the instruction in vayakel, which is the implementation of those instructions contained in Terumo and Tetzaveh, it says there, kechu me'itechem Terumo. It's not directed at the givers, the individuals. It's directed at the representatives of the community who are instructed to take it from the individuals and to make it into communal property, namely, the Hatzibur Yikichume HaYechidim, that the community, through its representatives, take the donations of these various materials from the individuals. So the first point that Reb Zelvel makes is very simple. The Yikichu is an instruction not addressed to the individual. It is addressed to the community, to the people of Israel through its representatives. They are the ones who are commanded to take these donations as representatives of the community, to make them into communal property, and as such then and only then may they be used in the construction of the Mishkan. Go to three lines from the bottom. Genira lehosifot, and I would like to add another dimension to these particular observations, namely, Diyesh Lomar, I would like to say like this, to be MS Iker Hadovor Shetehe Terumo Kazu Shel Sibuli Avodas Hamishkon Hoyasa Mitzvah Vechova. The instruction that the community has to take these donations from the individuals, HaKadosh Baruch Hu addresses the communal representatives in the imperative. V'yikhuli, you have the duty, you have the commandment to take these items. V'zehu dichtiv, and that's why it says, Aveir al Bnei Yisrael, v'yikhuli teruma b'loshon tzivuyu mitzvah saseh, because when we're speaking to the community, we speak in the imperative. As he will now go on to say, in regard to the individual, it is meyeis kolish asher yidvenu livo. You want to give, you give. You don't want to give, you don't give. But when it comes to the community, they have the duty to take. Why is it that the individual is allowed to follow his own whim, and the community through its representatives are instructed, A, to take, and B, to build? Says the Velvel, very simple. Because if you look into the Rambam and elsewhere, you will discover that the duty to build a Mishkan is not a duty which devolves on the individual. An individual has a mitzvah to put on tefillin. An individual has a mitzvah to say Shimon Esrei. An individual has a mitzvah to make Kiddush Friday night. An individual has no duty whatsoever to build a Beis HaMikdash. Who has the duty? The people of Israel. When you are speaking about the individual, is meyeis kolish asher yidvenu livo, if he feels well disposed, he gives, and if he doesn't, he doesn't have to. Because the mitzvah doesn't devolve on the individual. Therefore, there is no imperative addressed to the yochid. But when you're speaking about the community, then you have an imperative, because the community have the duty to build a Beis HaMikdash, a Mishkan. And on the mitzvah zu, because you should know that the mitzvah, be yesoda v'ikara, in its fundamental aspect, dina it is, shehi chovas tibur, velo chovas yochid. It is a duty on the community, on the people of Israel, but not on the individual. Ukamo ikar hamitzvah shel v'osuli mikdash. Why is the Yikchuli Teruma an imperative address to the community through its representatives? Because they are the only ones who have the duty to build. Therefore, they are the only ones who have the duty to take. But the individual doesn't have the duty to give, because it's not a mitzvah which devolves on him. Similarly, the Yosuli Mikdosh is a mitzvah which devolves on the community, on Klal Yisrael, and not through the Yochid. Kimavur b'sefer ha-mitzvah l'horambam, sof mitzvah sasei yuncho. That is why the pasuk concludes and says, "Meyeis kolish asher yidvenu livo." You take from every individual who feels in a generous mood. But why? Why do we rely on his generosity and not compel him to give? Says the Bevel simply, "The yetzel hayochid have zeh rak nedava velo chiyuva kamo machatzis hasheker." Because the individual does not have a mitzvah to give to the building of a Mishkan or Beis HaMikdash, as he does have a duty to give a machatzis hashekel. V'chein b'parshas vayakel, and similarly you can confirm this when you look into parshas vayakel, when it says, t'chu me'yitzechem teruma, an imperative, take. It is addressed to mitzvah satzibur, shetehei kupas tibur le'avodas hamishkon, and continues kol nediv libo yivyeho. And there again, when it speaks about the individual, it speaks about nediv lev, generosity of heart, the al hayochid lekech yuvo unisinoso havya biglal nedovo. So therefore, as far as the Velvel is concerned, and it's a yisod godo, the v'yikhuli terumo is a mitzvah addressed to the representatives of Klal Yisrael, and it is presented in an imperative mood, because it is only Klal Yisrael who have the duty to build, And therefore it is Klal Yisrael who have the duty to collect the wherewithal with which to build. Therefore the Yikru is addressed to them, and the Yosuli Mikdosh is addressed to the people of Israel through their representatives, but not addressed to the individual member of Israel. The ordinary Yochid does not have a duty to build a Mishkan. Okay. Let me move on. Let me draw your attention now to the Rashi beginning Tikechu Es Terumasi. There's a lot to say this evening. I'm hoping Mr. Shem will be able to get through. Right, that is on Pasuk Beis. Says Rashi, Omru Raboseinu, Sholosh Terumos Amuros Kan. There are three Terumos alluded to here, because we started off by saying V'yikhuli Teruma, one mention, Tikechu Es Terumasi, second, V'zot HaTeruma, a third mention. Because there is an allusion to three trumos. Achas trumas beka lagul goles, shenasu mehem ho adonim kemoshim epulish biele bekude. One machsis ha-shekel went towards making the adonim, the silver sockets for the beams of the Mishkan. The achas trumas hamizbeach beka lagul goles lekupos, liknos behen korbonos simur. The next was a machsis ha-shekel which was given every year from which the korbanos were provided, v'yachas truma tamishkan, and the next one, the third one, was the truma of the building of the mishkan, which was nidvat kolechot v'yechot. The machzis ha-shekel to buy korbanos was compulsory, but the truma that we're referring to in our parsha was a voluntary contribution. Might be in place here to mention a very well-known episode that occurred 1920s or so in Warsaw. There was a meeting because the yeshivas were in difficult, in financial straits. And they called a meeting of the great rabbis at which Reb Zalman Sorotkin Zatzal, the author of Oznaim LaTorah, whom I quoted last week, he was present. And they invited newspaper reporters to come because they wanted to publicize the plight of the yeshivos, their difficult financial situation. And at that time, the yeshiva of Chachmei Lublin, which was going to be one of the most plush, if one can use the term, yeshivos then known in Europe, that was already under construction, and the Meir Shapira Zatzal was collecting money hand over fist for that project. So there was one newspaper reporter who was a little bit of a, I don't know whether it is an English word, in Yiddish is a word knurah. Okay, he was mother to make a little bit of trouble. So he says to Reb Zalman Sorotkin, I think, he says, the money that Reb Meir Shapir is collecting for the building would have been better used to solve your financial problems. So Reb Zalman Sorotkin says to him, have you ever seen the Rashi which begins Tikechu Es Terumasi? He says, it speaks about a giving of a machasis ha-shekel. The shekel, the machzis ha-shekel, which was to be given for the building of the Mishkan, was voluntary. The machzis ha-shekel, which was to be given in order to provide the korbanos, that was compulsory. But why? The poshet? For buildings, you'll always get donors. So they could make it voluntary. It's upkeep that's the problem. The Meir Shapira got people to put a plaque on the wall, a plaque on both your houses, whatever it is. Always get somebody. But he says, when it comes to the upkeep, that is the problem. So don't tell me, he says, because the mayor is collecting for the building. He says, you'll find when the mayor got to go around looking for breakfast, dinner and supper for the Talmidim, he's also going to come and join our meeting. Because the problem of upkeep is a different problem of a different dimension than the problem of building. Okay. Now, my friends, I want to move on to some of the most exciting material that I've come across, share it with you. Let's move to the Yoron. I have to emphasize, we already had two shiurim on Parshas Truma last year, one on the ordinary Monday night, and you may remember we assembled in the snow during the Gulf War, etc., etc., which is now a memory for some or other painful one. Okay. Let's then move over to Osu Aron Asei Shitim. And I hope I will be able to present it as well as I want to. In order to begin our deliberations on the Oron, we consult the Sefer HaMitzvot LeHaRambam on the top left-hand corner. Says the Rambam, Mitzvah Saseh Kaf, the 20th of the positive commandments. Follow carefully, please. Shetzivanu, the Almighty has commanded us, Livnos, Beis Avodah, to build a house of service. You may recall we mentioned last year that this is the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ibn Ezra. According to the Ibn Ezra, when we build the Beis Hamidrash, we are actually building a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas according to the Rambam, and it becomes quite obvious here, which is one of the sources we quoted then, that in building a Beis Hamidrash or a Mishkan, we are actually building a house in which we perform service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Though in which Yihye HaHakrovo, there will be sacrifices. And there will be the burning of fire continually. And there people will come 3 times a year, etc. And this mitzvah is referred to in the Pasuk in our Sidra, the Yosu Li Mikdosh. The Loshen Sifrei and our rabbis in the Sifrei say as follows. Shalosh mitzvos nitzavu Yisrael b'shas k'nisosim l'oret. Our ancestors were commanded 3 mitzvot when they came into Eretz Yisrael. Livnos lahem melech, to appoint a king. Livnos lahem beis abechiru, and to build a beis amigdosh. Ulahachriz zaro shel amolek, and to destroy the seed of amolek. Hine yispire, so you can see from the Sifrei, shebinyan beis abechiru, that the building of the beis amigdosh is mitzvah bifnei atzmo. It is a mitzvah in its own right. Ukevar biyarnu, and we have already explained in an earlier section of this work, shezeh, that the mitzvah v'yosu li mikdash, kolel chalokim, that this mitzvah embraces not only the outer structure of the Mishkan, but also contains the various parts of furniture which are included in the Mishkan. In other words, do not reckon every single item in the Beis HaMikdash as a separate mitzvah, because it's all part of the Yosu Li Mikdash. And the Rambam, as we know in the Yudalit Shoroshim at the beginning of Sefer HaMitzvos, tells us that whenever you have one mitzvah which consists of many parts, you don't count each separate individual detail as a separate mitzvah, but the general mitzvah. For instance, when you bring a korban, you shecht, there's the sprinkling of the blood, there is the receiving of the blood, there are so many aspects of that sacrifice, says the Rambam, but the bringing of a korban ola, or a korban klomim, or a korban chatas, is one mitzvah. The details are all subsumed under the general title of the one mitzvah. Similarly, says the Rambam, all the separate parts of the Mishkan, which he is going to detail in a moment, they are to be reckoned as all part of the same one mitzvah. And then goes on to tell us what are those parts. The menorah, the shulchan, the mizbeach, the zulosom, kulam heime chelke hamikdosh. They are all parts of the mikdosh, v'hakol yikorei mikdosh. And they are all referred to as... Okay. Number one. You have to know that there is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam here refuses to include all the various items of furniture of the Mishkan as separate mitzvahs, because according to the Rambam, they are all chelke hamikdosh. They are all separate parts. The Ramban, in his strictures, on Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam, Mitzvah Saseh Lamed Gimel, the Ramban says, no. Each of those items is to be considered in its own right. They are not considered to be subsumed under the general mitzvah of the Yosu Li Mikdosh. Ah, you'll say to me, if so, do you reckon every one of those items, the shulchan, the menorah, the mizbeach, the building of each of those items to be a separate mitzvah, says the Ramban, no. The Ramban says, but why do I not? Because, he says, Each of those items that I have just mentioned, L'moshel the menorah, there is a mitzvah saseh to kindle the menorah every evening. If there is a mitzvah saseh to kindle the menorah every evening, then the manufacturing of a menorah comes under the heading of hechsher mitzvah, providing the means with which to fulfill the mitzvah. L'moshel, there is a mitzvah to sit in a sukkah during sukkahs. The building of the sukkah is not a mitzvah from the Tariag mitzvahs, because the mitzvah of building the sukkah is only a hechsher mitzvah. It provides you with the wherewithal to fulfill the mitzvah. Says the Ramban, in regard to the menorah, there is a mitzvah saseh to kindle it. In regard to the mizbechos, there are mitzvahs saseh in regard to what has to be done there. Either eilas tamid, the continual offerings in the morning, in the afternoon, the ketores, the various other items, the shulchan is lechem aponim. So since there is a separate mitzvah saseh that has to be performed with each and every article, it follows therefore, says the Ramban, that the construction of these items is to be referred to as hechsher mitzvah, and that is the reason why they are not counted as separate mitzvahs. That's number one. It's important that you should know that for the Rambam, the reason why they are not counted is because they are chelkei hamikdash, and for the Ramban, the reason why they are not counted is because they are hechsher mitzvah. But now we come to something which is astounding, and that is the Rambam has listed the shulchan, the menorah, the mizbeach, and no Oron. Oron is first in our seder. And if you look into Hilchos Beis HaBechira in the Rambam, Perek Aleph, in Halacha Hei, Vav, and Zayin, you will discover that the Rambam goes into detail about what the Klei HaMikdash are, and the Rambam will number them and speak about Mizbeach, Menorah, Shulchan, Kiyor, Kano, Kevesh. No Oron. Now that's the kasha. What does the Rambam say about the Oron? Or why doesn't he say about the Oron? Says Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the father of the present Rav, and a brother of Reb Belbel. From here he says, I conclude that according to the Rambam, the Oron is not an appurtenance of the Mishkan. Its presence in the Mishkan is incidental. It has nothing to do with the definition of the Yasuli Mikdash. What is the Oron doing there? The Oron is there purely to house the Luchos Habris. As they say, the Moshe says that is the Oron. The Oron is not Klei HaMikdash. The Oron is a receptacle in which the Luchos Habris are kept. The amazing thing is, and this is brought by the Imre Chayim, speak a lot about him, Mr. Shemizah, and Adam Godel, in America, relatively young gentleman, he has yediyas which are embarrassing. He says, Reb Moshe said that shat in the Rambam. Says the Imre Chayim, the chiddush of Reb Moshe Soloveitchik is a medrash hagodol in this parsha. The medrash hagodol reads, they all do mikdash, they shall make for me a mikdash. Hareze mitzvah saseh lasos bayis lashem. That means there is a mitzvah, says the Medrash HaGadol, to make a bayis, a house for God. V'yeilu hein hadavorim shehein ikar v'binyin habayis. And what are the crucial areas of the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan? There is Kodesh Kodashim. And the Medrash HaGadol says, v'osin bo shiva kelim. And there are 7 items of furniture which have to be in that Mishkan. Mizbeach, Kevesh La'alos, so a ramp to go up. Kiyor, Kano, Mizbach HaKetores, Menorah, Shulchan. Says the Medrash HaGadol, Avol Ha'aron, Harehu La'luchos, the Eino Miklei HaMigdash. Says the Medrash HaGadol, the Oron has nothing to do with Klei HaMigdash. It is there purely to house the Luchos. And that's got to be one of the biggest kedushim that we've heard. That the Oron has absolutely nothing at all to do with the Klei HaMikdash. What I would like to draw your attention to now is not only that the Oron is there purely to house the Luchos, but I would venture to suggest that from a Rashi in the Parsha of Oron, we are going to come to an amazing conclusion. Let me direct your attention to Perek Chof Hei, Posek Chof Aleph. Vinosato is a kapolis al horon milmolo. And you shall put the kapolis, the covering, on the ark from above. The el horon and into the horon, titanis oedus, you shall place the lukos asher etene lecha, which I will give you. Let me draw your attention to Pasuk Tet Zion. Vinosato el horon, and you shall place in the horon the tablets of stone which I will give you. So by the time we have already received the instruction once that the Oron, into the Oron must go the Luchos HaBrit. So Rashi will now ask, Lo Yodati Lomo Nichpal. I don't know why this instruction is repeated. Shaharikvar Neemar, because is it not already said in Pasuk Tezayin, Vinosato El Horon Eis Hoedus, you shall put the tablets of stone into the Horon. That's his answer. The Yesh Lomar, Shebo Lilameid, it comes to teach us, this second statement. Shebe Odo Horon Lubado Velo Kapolis, that the Horon, when it is on its own without the Kapolis, before it has been covered, yitain techila ho'edus l'socho. First you've got to put the two tablets into it, v'yachakach yitainis ha'kapolis olov, and then you put the kapolis on. V'chein mosinu k'shehekimis ha'mishkon, and in fact we find when the mishkon was erected, nema, first it says, v'yitainis ho'edus el ho'oron, he placed the edus into the oron, v'yachakach, and then v'yitainis ha'kapolis al ho'oron milmola, and then the kapolis was put on top. According to Rashi, the entire purpose of repeating this instruction is to tell you that before you put the kapolis onto the Oron, you've got to put the Luchos HaBrit into the Oron. What's the chiddush in Rashi? For which there has to be a repetition of a comment which was made of an instruction which was given there only a few psukim ago. The answer, my friends, is because the pasuk that I quoted before, pasuk Chof Aleph at the beginning, it says, Vinosato et hakapolis al ho'oron milmola. You shall place the kapolis on the oron above. Rashi is telling us a chiddush gadol. We know from the Rambam, and it's in the Koran Medrash HaGadol, that the whole purpose for the oron was to be a receptacle for the Luchos HaBrit. From this Rashi we learn an even greater yesod. Without the Luchos HaBrit in it, it's not called an Oron. And that is why Rashi says you have to put the Luchos HaBrit in first. Because if the Luchos HaBrit were not in first and you put the Kapolis on this box before you put in the Luchos, you would not have fulfilled the Nosato et HaKapolis al Ho'oron. Because it's not called an Oron without the Luchos. That's the Chiddush in the Rashi. So what we see from the Rambam is the Oron was made for the Luchos and for no other purpose. And what we see from Rashi is that without the Luchos, it's not called an Oron. And I'll tell you something more. On the words of the Osu Aron Ateishi Tim, Rabbeinu Bechai says that this article is called an Oron because it contains the Luchos which are referred to as Or, as light. We normally think an Oron means an ark. No, it's a special name given to an item which contains the Luchos. Had we only had the Rambam, we would have explained Rabbeinu Bechai to mean that the Oron was constructed only so that there should be Luchos which are referred to as Or. But with this Rashi, we now understand the Rabbeinu Bechai better. That without the Luchos, it's not called an Oron. It is the Or of the Luchos which gives it the title. So now we are in a position to answer a number of questions. The Rishash in Yoma, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, the Rishash asked a famous question. We know that there were certain items which were missing from the second temple. One of them was the Urim. Another was the Urim Vetumim didn't operate. We'll explain to Mitzvah Hashem next week what that's all about. But, says the Rishash, according to the Rambam, even though the Urim Vetumim did not operate in Bayis Sheni, nevertheless, the Urim Vetumim had to be worn by the Kohen Gadol, because otherwise, says the Rambam, the Kohen Gadol would be Mechusa Begodim. He would be officiating with less than the appropriate number of garments that he's supposed to wear. So we see that even though the Urim and the Tumim were not operating, but even inoperable, they have to be worn, because otherwise there's a deficiency. Says the Rishash, all right, there were no Luchos in Bayis Sheni, but at least make an Urim. Like the Rambam says, you have Urim Vetumim which are worn, which are also not operable. The answer is, the way we've understood the Rashi, you can't make an Urim. Because the definition of Urim is not Urim plus the Luchos. Urim equals box plus Luchos. And unless you have the Luchos, Satan is in Urim. And something else which is equally fascinating. If you look into the Rambam later on in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, he tells you that one of the prohibitions of the Torah is against fashioning items as they were in the Beit HaMikdash. For instance, you're not allowed to fashion a shulchan like it was. You're not allowed to fashion an ulam like it was there. You're not allowed to fashion a menorah with seven branches. Five will do. Eight will do. Rav Kook says that's why we have 8 days Chanukah. Because the miracle was only for seven. But we can't make a seven-branched menorah, says Rav Kook. Because you're forbidden to imitate what was it in the... But the Rambam doesn't say that you're forbidden to make an Urim. Why? Because the box is not an Urim. When the box contains the Luchos, then it's an Urim. So there's no prohibition against making the box on its own. Because when you make the box on its own, you're not making an Urim. Because Urim equals box plus Luchos. So here we see how everything falls in so beautifully into place. What I'd like now to draw your attention to, so we see here a number of items which are worthy of mention in regards to the Urim. Why did the Rambam then not count the making of the Urim as a separate mitzvah? According to him, it's not listed in the Chelkei HaMikdosh in Mitzvah Saseh Kaf. The truth of the matter is, the Ramban, in his Hasavit, the Mitzvah Saseh Lamed Gimel Taker, counts the Osul Aron Asay Shittim as a separate Mitzvah Saseh. Why does the Rambam not do so? Says the Megillas Esther, not to be confused with the Megillas Esther, the work which is defending the Rambam against the Hasogos of the Ramban and Sefer HaMitzvot. Says the Megillas Esther, one of the criteria by which the Rambam decides whether we are going to include an imperative of the Torah in Taryag is if it is a mitzvah which applies for all time. But if it's a mitzvah that's going to be discontinued at any time, it doesn't apply. It can't be introduced into Taryag. Says the Megillah says that the reason why the Rambam doesn't include the making of an Urim as a separate mitzvah is because we have a tradition that there will never be a second Urim made. Because the Urim that Bezalel made was brought into the Beit HaMikdash. It was hidden in a place which Shlomo HaMelech had already designed and designated, knowing full well that the Churban was to come, and Yoshiyahu HaMelech hid it there, and Liyosid Lovom Yitzhak Shem, when the Binyan Beit HaMikdash, that is the Urim that will be brought out of hiding and reinstated in the Kodesh HaKodoshim. So the reason why there is no mitzvah to make an Urim is because it is a mitzvah which applied only to one generation. And worthwhile mentioning at this moment that even though it says in regards to all the items which were made Vayas, 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 or Vayasu in Vayakel Pekudei, when it comes to the Urim, it says Vayas Bezalel.
from the Son and made the whole lot. Says the Meshech Chochmah. So why would the Yoram does it say Vayas Betzalel? Says the Meshech Chochmah, that's an allusion to the fact that there'll only be one Yoram, the one that Betzalel made. Vayas Betzalel. Now, we're going to have a look. We're not moving from the Yoram yet. We're going to have a look at some very fascinating items here. Let's have a look. Draw your attention to Perek Chof Hei, Pasuk Yud Beis. Okay, so we have the Aron. Now we've defined the Aron clearly as the item that we know as an Aron when it contains the Luchos HaBrit. Now what are you supposed to do for this Aron? Ve'yotzak tolo, and you shall fashion for this ark, arba tabaos zahav, four rings of gold, ve'noftato, and you shall place them, al arba pa'amos zahav, on its four pa'amos. And then the pasuk goes on to say, ushetei tabaos al saloho echot, and two rings will be on one side, Ushadei Tabaros al Salo Hashenis, and two rings will be on the second side. So we've got two questions we have to ask. Number one, what does Pamos of mean? And number two, are the two and two which are mentioned in the second part of the Pasuk, are they an explanation of the four in the first part, or are they in addition to the four in the first part? We can't go anywhere without looking at Rashi. As the Ramban says in his introduction to the Torah, Lo Mishpat HaBachorah. He's the Bachor, we have to look at him first. Rashi. Pa'amosov. Kitargumo. And this word should be explained as the Targum does. Zaviosei. Corners. Okay. Ubezovios hoelyonos somuch lakaporis hoyunisunim. And it is on the corners next to the kaporis on the upper part of the oron, that is where the rings were placed, in which the poles were to be put. Stayimikan, two on one side, two on the other, lerochbo shel oron. On the width of the oron, right? On the length? No, on the width of the oron. Vahabadim nisunim bohem, and the poles were put into these taboros, etc., etc. Go down to the next Rashi. Ushtei tabaos al saloho echas, two rings on one side, says Rashi, hein ho arba tabaos shepetechilat hamikra. These two and two that are mentioned in the second part of the pasuk are only a description of the four in the first part. And it is if we were saying, Upireis lecha heichen hoyu, and we are being told exactly how they were positioned. So what's the form? Ushetei tabos, which seems to imply a further two, says Rashi v'havov zu yisei rohi. The form is redundant. It should be explained as if it wasn't there. Upisro no, and it is to be understood as if it was saying, two of the rings on one side, two of the rings on the other side. The Yesh L'chol Yashvo Kain, and if you want to include the Vav, then you explain the inclusion of the Vav and translate the Pasuk like this, the second part of the Pasuk. Ushtei min hatabos hoelu al salo hoechos. And two of these aforementioned are on one side, and two of those aforementioned on the other side. So now we have Shitas Rashi. To know what the Beis HaMikdash Aron looked like. Says Rashi, the rings were inserted in the four corners, and there were only four of those rings, two, and into those four rings went the two poles. Let us now consult the Ibn Ezra. Says the Ibn Ezra on the words Pa'amosov. Chipasi v'chol ha-mikro. I have looked through Tanakh. And you can rest assured he looked through Tanakh. V'lo motzofi pa'am shehu zoviyu. And I never found the word pa'am to mean a corner. Rat mi loshen regel. It means a foot. Ragleoni Pame Dalim, right? You know Hebrew poetry saying the same thing two ways. So Pame Dalim is the same as Ragleoni. Vayosem Ladelech Pa'amov, he put his feet on the path. Mayofu Pamayich, Verabim Kocha. And many psukim like that. What's Rashi talking about? Pamayich of corners. Nechtigatak. Pamayich means feet. Alkein Husrachti Lefarish. Therefore I am forced to conclude. Ki Raglayim Hoyu La'orom. The Yoron had legs. Chamaita. Ki derech bizoyon hu sheyeshev ha'oron ba'oron. Because it's a bit of an embarrassment that the Oron should lie on the ground. So you have legs. That's Chamaita. The Yod. And now I want to tackle the second point that Rashi says. He says, Ushtei Tavos. It's a description of the four in the first part. No, no, says the Ibn Ezra. He's got it wrong again. The old ma tam lo ma ushete tavosov the tosefes tavov. Why put the vav in if the vav is not supposed to be there? The ilu hayu harishonos. If the tavos refers to in the second part of the pasuk was merely a description of the four mentioned in the first part, hayakosov then it should have said shtei tavos without the vav. Lehodia to inform you shehem abat tavosov shehitzki kemishpat haloshon. In order to inform you that the two that he is now going to tell you about are in fact a description of the four in the first part. But it didn't do that. Because the vav is there. And the vav implies and as well as. The yesh mechachme dorenu shehevinze. And there are some people who are clever and they understood that the vav is not there for no purpose. The Omar and this particular individual said, Ki habadim hoyu musamim ba'oron ba'tabuos shahoyu ala pa'amonim. That the rings were not on the corners, like Rashi says. The rings were on the feet of the Yoram. And the chasher yitzarechu loseis es ha'oron, and when they wanted to carry the Yoram, you see there was eight rings altogether, says Ibn Ezra. You have four, and you have another four mentioned in the second part. So you've got four and another four. And this Chacham said that when they needed to travel, Yusiru mehatabuos hashiflios, then the badim, the poles were removed from the four, which were on the lower part of the legs of the Yoron. They used to move the tabuos to Elionos and put into the four which were higher up. The chain kotuv, and in fact there is support for this, because the prophet in Bamidbar, when it speaks about the Bnei Yisrael dismantling the Mishkan and getting ready to move, the prophet says, V'somu badov, and they placed the poles. What do you mean they placed the poles? The poles were always in one place. Doctor this Chacham, no. You see from V'somu badov that there was a placing of the poles which took place when they were to move. So therefore, this Chacham suggests that our Pasuk Yud Beis is telling us there were eight rings, four which were higher, four which were lower, and when the Oren was at rest, the poles were in the four lower rings, and when the Oren was to move, it was placed into the four higher rings. Over Ulefida Ti, to my mind, Shahabadim, the poles, Acha Shehusmu Betaboro To Elyonos, La Husnu Misham. I agree with him. And I say that there were eight rings. But you can't say that when it was time to move, that the poles were taken out of the lower rings and put into the higher rings, because it says in the Pasuk, Lo yosuru mimenu. The poles are not allowed to be moved once they are put into the tabor. Aye, it says, Vesomu badov, they placed the poles. It doesn't mean they placed the poles somewhere else. But when they were ready to move, Vesomu badov, al ha-kohanim. They just fixed the poles onto the shoulders of the kohanim who were to carry. Shehoyu meisimim badei ha'oron, b'kesefos ha-kohotim, v'chasher husam ha'oron, b'zevir, etc., etc., etc. Then he says like this, aye, if the poles can't be moved, and they are in the upper taboros, so what do you need the lower taboros for? And the Ibn Ezra says, the wearing. What do you need them for? You're only using the four. Because once you put them in, you can't take them out again.
Says the Ibn Ezra, Vehinei hadalat hatabot hashvelim hoyu liyoti v'seferes kemishpatu aron. They were there for decorative purpose. They had no function whatsoever. Look nice. And you have to remember that it's not just here in the Ibn Ezra that we come across the concept of aesthetics as being a crucial part of the Mishkan. We have it in Rashi also. So we have a most unusual machlokes. Rashi says there were four rings and they were in the corners. And the Ibn Ezra says there were 8 rings and 8 of them were on the legs. 4 above, 4 below, and the 4 below were for decorative purpose. Ali Musar asked, glorious theme on which to end, although I have another hour, but we leave it up. Ask the Bale HaMusar. The Ibn Ezra says, Chipasti b'chol ha-mikro. I've looked through the entire Tanakh, says the Ibn Ezra, and I didn't find Palmon to be called a corner. But it's a lot in a regal. It's an expression of the foot. I'm very sorry. Ibn Ezra got it wrong. Palmosov doesn't mean a foot. Palmosov means footstep. Mayofu Palmoyach. How beautiful are your footsteps? Not how beautiful are your feet. Vayosim Laderech Pe'omov. He put his footsteps on the road. Ibn Ezra seemingly wasn't worried about that. Is it Chipasti b'chol ha-mikra? He's setting himself up as a PhD. Chipasti b'chol ha-mikra. And he's not worried about that. Dr. Shmuel Volkin, son of Rav Aaron Volkin, that's all. Prince Kalim, something which is so gorgeous. He says, the Oron, as everybody knows, symbolizes the Torah. What is the difference between regel, raglov, and palmos? The difference between feet and footsteps is that footsteps implies movement. Feet can be standing still, but when you speak about a footstep, you're talking about motion. In Torah, you're not allowed to stand still. Nostati lehem mahalchim beinavom demoel. We are supposed to be constantly in motion. We're supposed to be constantly striving to improve, to become better, to learn more, to know more, to keep more. The Ibn Ezra, says Reb Shmuel, was not concerned that the word Palmosov means footsteps, because the Ibn Ezra knew full well that the Oron, which is only an Oron by virtue of the fact that the Lukos Habris are there, Ayin Rashi Shom, and the fact that there are Lukos there implies that we are speaking about a receptacle which signifies Torah. When it comes to Torah, the Torah would never use the word raglov, because that would imply that it is sufficient to stand still in one place where Torah is concerned. And we are forbidden to stand still in one place. We are supposed to be continually in movement, continually in motion, bettering ourselves in Nasa, in Nishma, whatever it may be. Therefore, it is appropriate that the Ibn Ezra should not be concerned in any way whatsoever with the fact that there is a use of Parmosov instead of Rakhlov. Since we spoke about Bayis Shlishi, let me just for a few moments, let's say we have it on our, in our sheets, let me just quote you the, just the opening section of the Emes L'Yanka. Something very beautiful. As you know, Rabbi Yaakov never disappoints. Part of what was used in the making of the Oron were Atzei Shittim, and they are mentioned at the beginning of the Sidra on Perik Chofei Pasuk Hei. The Atzei Shittim and Shittim wood, says Rashi on the words of Atzei Shittim in Pasuk Hei, Umeayin Hoyo Hoyu Lohem Bamidvar. Where did the Jewish people get shittim wood in the wilderness? Nothing growing there. Pireish Rabbi Tanchumo. Rabbi Tanchumo explains. Yaakov Avinu Tzofa Beruach HaKodesh Sha'asidim Yisroel Livnos Mishkon Bamidvar. Yaakov Avinu knew Beruach HaKodesh that the Jewish people were going to build a tabernacle to God in the wilderness.
Vehevi arazim l'mitzrayim. And he brought cedar trees down to Egypt from Eretz Yisrael, and he cut them down in Beersheba. Unetha'am, and he planted them there. V'tziva levanav, and he commanded his children, litlein imahem, to take them with them, kishayetzu mimitzrayim. That's the Rashi. Yaakov Avinu knew that we were going to build a Mishkan, so Yaakov Avinu went to Beersheba, as the Chazal say in the Medrash Lakutz Arozim, and then he took, cut them down, brought them to Mitzrayim, and planted them, and these were the ones that the Bnei Yisrael brought out with them. Let's have a look at the Emes B'Yanka. V'hine v'medrish hanal, in the medrash which I've just quoted, Mavuor, it is explained, Yaakov Avinu kitzeitzes o'arozim o'ele shenot o'avrohom, that Yaakov cut down the cedars which Abraham had planted, v'lokach oso imo l'mitzrayim, and brought them down to Egypt. V'nire, and it appears to me, shehoyeso le'Yaakov kavona miyuchedes boze, that Yaakov Avinu had a special reason for so doing. Dehine, because you know, b'yemes Yaakov Avinu hoyom yod yoremi l'redes mitzoyim. Yaakov Avinu was afraid to go down to Egypt. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, al tiro meledo mitzoyim, which implies that Yaakov Avinu was afraid. Ki choshash, because he was afraid, ten chas v'sholem yishtaku b'nei yisrael mitzrayim, lest his people, his descendants, become assimilated in Egypt. The yitnu ben agoyim, and disappear amongst the nations. The shuv lo yetsu mishom, and they'd never go out of there again. As in fact almost happened. Uchatish yochen kematoyah. V'lochein, and it is for because of his fear, that hutzlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahavticho, al tiro meyedo mitzrayim. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt. Umachmas cheshach there, and because of this fear, Rosso Yaakov lasos eze kesher mahusi. Yaakov Avinu wanted to give his descendants a physical symbol. Bein zaro hayoreid mitzrayim uvein Eretz Yisrael. He brought down cedars from Eretz Yisrael to remind his children, you don't come from here, and you're not staying here forever either. V'lochein hikvid sheyihiyu imam tamid eitzim elu. That's why Yaakov Avinu was careful that these eitzim, these pieces of these trees should be with them continually. V'hoyo hadovo nimsa midor ledor v'meseres mi Yaakov Avinu. And this was a tradition which came to every generation of Jew in Egypt, handed down from Yaakov. Hallo tireh, can you not see? Ki betach to those the man hagulah, that redemption will surely come. Ki halo kan heim hoetim shehevi zikeninu Yaakov meyeret Yisroel. Because are these not the cedar trees that our forefather Jacob brought down from Israel? The heim heim shen nitom zikeninu Avraham Avinu b'Be'er Sheva. And these are the cedars which were planted by Avraham Avinu. The heim omdim umuchonim etzleinu. And these are the trees that are waiting for us. Livnos mehem mishkon kishenetzei mitzrayim, to build a tabernacle when we leave. Zim kain, and if that is so, they pointed to the cedars and they said, why do you think Jacob brought them down here? Is it not an indication shenetzei mipo bekorov, that we will leave here speedily and soon? Uvekoach eitzim elu, and through these trees, which are so tall and majestic, and everyone can see them, Chizuku echodes asheni at shebiyemes bozman agula. So the cedar trees were brought down by Yaakov Avinu, and they were planted in Egypt in order to be a physical proof of our association with Eretz Yisrael, because that's where the trees come from, and they are planted by Avraham Avinu going back to the beginning of our history as a nation. And they further demonstrate that Yaakov Avinu brought them down to be used when we leave. So that became the greatest consolation and comfort that in fact we were in fact about to leave. Let me just conclude with a thought which I suggest to Chosson and Kalo. Let me draw your attention to Perek Chavov Chavov Kopchet. You know, the beams that were used in the construction of the Mishkan, they were vertical beams. And how did they stand up? Says the Pasuk. And there was a horizontal beam going through the vertical beams, mavriach min hakotzer hakotzer, which is going around from one side to the other. It went around the three closed-in sides of the Mishkan. Where did we get such a magical beam? Says the Targum Yonis and Ben Uziel, the Nagra Mitziyah begol luchaya. And there was one horizontal beam amongst the others. Mishalvish min siyofe li siyofe. Going from one side right around to the other, the third side. Min ilona dinetziv Avraham bive'ero deshova. And that beam was made from the cedar tree which was planted by Avraham Avinu those many years ago. Say the chos and the gala for what it's worth. So you know, they say that the home is supposed to be a mikdash meyat. Very interesting. I said, you can put up a home, but how do you keep the home staying? How do you keep it erect? The secret is the Briya Chatichon. The secret of keeping a marriage alive is flexibility. To give. Unless there is give, you got problems. The Briya Chatichon is flexible. It moves. It's able to accommodate the vertical beam. It's a wonderful, wonderful theme here. You only keep things standing, not when you're rigid. When you're rigid, it breaks. But if there is flexibility, then there is an amount of give. And as we know, unless there is give, then there is a breaking and a breaking off. We'll leave it over here. We'll resume our deliberations.